Our Father in heaven, we are grateful for your word. Thank you for giving it to us. As we come now to sit under it, Lord, we pray that you would be with us, that you would help me to preach freely and clearly and joyfully, that you would allow all of us the opportunity to experience the work of your Holy Spirit, that this would be no mere words for us, but that this would be our very life. We pray for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis 41. After 2 whole years, Pharaoh dreamed that he was standing by the Nile, and behold, there came up out of the Nile 7 cows, attractive and plump, and they fed in the reed grass. And behold, 7 other cows, ugly and thin, came up out of the Nile after them and stood by the other cows on the bank of the Nile. And the ugly, thin cows ate up the 7 attractive, plump cows, and Pharaoh awoke. And he fell asleep and dreamed a second time. And behold, 7 ears of grain, plump and good, were growing on 1 stalk. And behold, after them sprouted 7 ears, thin and blighted by the east wind. And the thin ears swallowed up the 7 plump, full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. So in the morning his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was none who could interpret them to Pharaoh. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, "I remember my offenses today. When Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me and the chief baker in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, we dreamed on the same night, he and I, each having a dream with its own interpretation. A young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. When we told him, he interpreted our dreams to us, giving an interpretation to each man according to his dreams. And as he interpreted to us, so it came about. I was restored to my office, and the baker was hanged." Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they quickly brought him out of the pit. And when he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came in before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I have had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. I've heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." Joseph answered Pharaoh, "It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer." Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Behold, in my dream I was standing on the banks of the Nile. 7 cows, plump and attractive, came up out of the Nile and fed in the reed grass. 7 other cows came up after them, poor and very ugly and thin, such as I had never seen in all the land of Egypt. And the thin, ugly cows ate up the first 7 plump cows. But when they had eaten them, no one would have known that they had eaten them, for they were still as ugly as at the beginning. Then I awoke. I also saw in my dream 7 ears, growing on 1 stalk, full and good. 7 ears, withered, thin, and blighted by the east wind, sprouted after them, and the thin ears swallowed up the 7 good ears. And I told it to the magicians, but there was no one who could explain it to me. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The 7 good cows are 7 years, and the 7 good ears are 7 years, and the dreams are one. The 7 lean and ugly cows that came up after them are 7 years, and the 7 empty ears blighted by the east wind are also 7 years of famine. It is as I told Pharaoh. God has shown to Pharaoh what he is about to do. There will come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, but after them there will arise 7 years of famine, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt. The famine will consume the land, and the plenty will be unknown in the land by reason of the famine that will follow, for it will be very severe. And the doubling of Pharaoh's dream means that the thing is fixed by God, and God will shortly bring it about. Now therefore let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh proceed to appoint overseers over the land and take 1/5 of the produce of the land of Egypt during the 7 plentiful years. And let them gather all the food of these good years that are coming and store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh for food in the cities, and let them keep it. That food shall be a reserve for the land against the 7 years of famine that are to occur in the land of Egypt, so that the land may not perish through the famine." This proposal pleased Pharaoh and all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find a man like this in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has shown you all this, there is none so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, over all my people, and all my people shall order themselves at your command. Only as regards the throne will I be greater than you." And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, and clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him ride in his 2nd chariot, and they called out before him, "Bow the knee." Thus he set him over all the land of Egypt. Moreover, Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, and without your consent no one shall lift up hand or foot in all the land of Egypt." And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah, and he gave him in marriage Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. So Joseph went out over the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went through all the land of Egypt. During the 7 plentiful years, the earth produced abundantly, and he gathered up all the food of those 7 years which occurred in the land of Egypt, and put the food in the cities. He put in every city the food from the fields around it. And Joseph stored up grain in great abundance, like the sand of the sea, until he ceased to measure it, for it could not be measured. Before the year of famine came, 2 sons were born to Joseph. Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On, bore them to him. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for, he said, God has made me forget all my hardship in all my father's house. The name of the second he called Ephraim, for God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. The 7 years of plenty that occurred in the land of Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began to come, as Joseph had said. There was famine in all the lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. When all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, go to Joseph, what he says to you, do. So when the famine had spread over all the land, Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe in the land of Egypt. Moreover, all the earth came to Egypt to Joseph to buy grain, because the famine was severe over all the earth. This is the word of God. If someone were to try to get you to stop trusting God, how would they attack you? If Satan were to have you in his crosshairs, what particular attack might he use to try to strip you of your faith in God? For most of us, the best attack against our faith would be suffering. Most common way that we experience doubt. It's easy to doubt in times of suffering, in the darkest nights, in times of our own personal suffering, in times of seeing other people undergo great suffering. It's easy for Satan to find a foothold and to whisper to us that God is not good. He cannot be trusted. You need to look somewhere else and put your faith somewhere else. To keep faith during the darkest times of our life, we need a clear vision of who God is and what He's doing. We need a clear vision of why we can always trust God. And that's really the simple point of the sermon this morning, the point of this passage, I think, which is just to convince you at the deepest possible level that you can trust God and that you should trust God and that trusting God will result in great blessing. We remember as we come to Genesis 41 that we're in the middle of the story of Joseph. It's one long, beautiful, powerful, dramatic narrative. We've already seen that Joseph has been sold by his brothers and sent down to Egypt. And he's being he's sent there by God in order to preserve the life of his brothers, especially to preserve the life of Judah. While Joseph is in prison and in slavery, we know that Judah is living his own life. And although Judah is the important one, because from him will come Jesus, Joseph's the one who's suffering in order to provide rescue for Judah and for the rest of his brothers. Joseph, here in the as we come to the beginning of chapter 41, he's really in the middle of the timeline that we're really interested in. He's been in Egypt now for 13 years. We don't know how much of that's been in slavery and how much of that's been in prison, but he's been in Egypt for 13 years. And 13 years from now is probably when his brothers will come and meet him in Egypt. And so he's really right in the middle of that long stretch of time. Again, not fully understanding what God's doing, but trusting in God. And being faithful to him and being used by him. Just so you know, as we read the story of Genesis 41, there's lots of things in this story that are very authentic. It's very easy to point a finger at Scripture and say, well, I don't really believe that happened. Now, as we study world history, as we go back in time to ancient Egypt, there's lots of things we learn from ancient Egypt that are reflected here. This is a very authentic story, and I'll try to point out some of those things as we go along. In other words, this is a story that we think really actually happened. As this story is recorded by Moses for the people of Israel wandering in the wilderness on their way to the promised land, we have to first ask, how would they interpret this? How would they understand this story? Well, God is using the story of Joseph to build his people's faith in God. He wants these wandering Israelites to look at the story of Joseph and say, I really can trust God. I really can believe that God knows what he's doing. And so that's where we're going to go first. The first point that we see in the passage is that you can trust God who reveals himself through his prophet. You can trust God who reveals himself through his prophet. We see first off Pharaoh in verse 1. Pharaoh dreamed 2 dreams. Really one dream, but he kind of has both sides of the dream in 2 different ways. God sends these dreams to Pharaoh. It's not the case that God sent just an interpreter, but God sent first the dream so that he could later send the interpreter to Pharaoh. God sends both of them. The sending of the dream to Pharaoh was an act of grace by God. Pharaoh didn't deserve this information, but it was given to him by a gracious God so that Pharaoh could provide for his people and in time provide for the people of Israel. The dreams themselves began quite normally. In his dreams, Pharaoh saw things he would normally see. It's not weird to be in Egypt and to see some cows. It's not weird to see skinny cows and fat cows. It's not weird to see grain, ears of grain. It becomes really weird really quick when the skinny cow begins to eat up the fat cows, and then they don't look any different. And that's the point at which Pharaoh probably realized, there's something here for me. This is not a normal dream. And so he wakes up after his second dream and does what any good Pharaoh would do, realizing God is trying to communicate to me, or a God is trying to communicate to me. He calls together all his magicians. It says they're all the wise men of Egypt, a big conference. We don't know how many, but it had to be a lot. He gets them all together in a room and says, I've had a dream, and this is your job. Your job is to tell me what this dream means. And he explains the dream to them. And to their credit, none of them lie, right? They could have said, they could have made something up. To their credit, none of them said, we understand what this is. They said, we have no idea what this means. And of course, this is all by the plan of God. The inability of the interpreters to interpret for God is clear because they don't have the Holy Spirit. They don't have the ability to tell Pharaoh the true revelation of God. They don't have the ability to communicate God's message to him because they do not have the Spirit of God. I know it's not a one-to-one correlation. It's not a perfect illustration, but we can think about our own presidents. We can think about our own leaders and all the people, all the wise people that our leaders surround themselves with. And day after day, our presidents will go to their counselors and they will look for wisdom from them, and often they will find it. But just this week, we're celebrating the